The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning! Warning!
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger! Danger!
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters
the danger zone.
It's time for us to take our trip to the danger zone. David Trainer, president of New Constructs, is in the house. David and New Constructs evaluates securities on a scale from most attractive to most dangerous. And David joins us each week on Money Life to share something that comes up on the troubling side. Now, New Constructs, what's really different is that they evaluate securities from the bottom up. They jump in at the footnotes level, which most folks barely even look at, and then they work their way up to get a true economic picture of the company. And if they wind up finding that things are misleading, well, that's typically where you get a dangerous stock. Go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter, at New Constructs. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Valiant Pharmaceuticals.
Valiant Pharmaceuticals. Ticker symbol VRX. I think they have sort of been in the regular danger zone, like the stock market's danger zone in some respects, based on who's been trading in and out of it for a while. But why are they particularly dangerous to you now?
I'm afraid that investors are thinking that because they finally capitulated and did some restatements of their financials, that potentially now may be a good time to get back in. And it is not, in our opinion.
Why not?
Really, the core of what caused them to have to restate is, I think, a long history. And I don't know the people inside, but it appears to be sort of almost a culture. There's a common thread here between Valley and some other less than shareholder-friendly activities. This culture around kind of, I would say, misleading investors. You know, they've made claims on their website directly. One of the first times we actually wrote on them was June 2014, because they were trying to sell themselves as being a successful and good acquirer. And we were basically saying, you know, whatever you do, Allergan, don't let them buy you because they buy and destroy value. While they say they actually create value, and they're using accounting tricks in their favor. I think if you heard me say before on the show, with the right accounting, you can make any acquisition look good. You can make every PE look good. And acquisitions really have a very misleading impact on accounting earnings, when the truth is they've been overpaying and underperforming on their acquisitions, and there's no accountability for actually performing on the acquisitions either. It's because they are among the biggest perpetrators of non-GAAP earnings performance. And that non-GAAP earnings number ignores the cost of acquisitions. And for a company that's growing its business based on acquisitions, isn't it convenient that you ignore costs related to your biggest growth engine?
What are the accounting tricks? Where do the numbers not represent what you believe the true picture is?
In our report, we've got a great little chart that shows their real cash flow and what they say are their cash earnings. And it's just well above even GAAP earnings and way above cash earnings. And a lot of it is stock comp. A lot of it is charges related to mergers and acquisitions. A lot of what we said in terms of our non-GAAP earnings talk over time has been that non-GAAP means that they can exclude certain operating expenses in order to make the numbers look good. And that's what they're doing. But in particular, stock compensation and merger and acquisition related expenses, when that's the primary way that they're paying executives, or one of the primary ways they're paying executives, and definitely the primary way that they're growing earnings.
How bad and ugly can this get?
You know, it's been pretty bad. I think it's down 35% since we originally warned, down 68% since last August. And we've seen enormous amounts of dilution as well. I mean, the debt is up from $372 million in 2009 to $30 billion as of the last 12 months. And the shares outstanding have increased from 158 million to 356 million, or 16% compounded annually since 2009, right? So you're seeing a lot of dilution. You're seeing the stock price go down, but it's still expensive. To justify $82 a share, they have to grow profits by 15% compounded annually for the next 15 years, at which point they would have revenue that's greater than GlaxoSmithKline or AstraZeneca.
Not realistic is what we're saying.
Totally not realistic. The disconnect here, Chuck, is that people are willing to project growth in the stock price or embed growth in the stock price because they think the company is profitable or more profitable than it is. When you realize it's not that profitable, you realize just how dangerous those really high growth expectations are.
How, if at all, does the presence of an activist investor like Bill Ackman affect anything, or does it just sort of hold it up and make it that, okay, you can see catalysts, but maybe they don't take root quite as quickly or what have you?
Great question. I'm glad you brought up Mr. Ackman, because we think that he is a net negative. One of the common threads here that I mentioned amongst other stocks in the danger zone is the presence of Mr. Ackman. And what we found is that a lot of these companies with which he's involved have executives that are paid primarily based on now and GAAP earnings that effectively can look good no matter what the strategy of the business is, especially when that strategy is bad for cash flows. We know that on the Allergan deal, you know, he was on both sides of the table. So this guy's out to make money for himself, not necessarily for investors. I think the word activist is a term that's used rather loosely. And I think a lot of times what you see in activists is they're really more opportunists, and to the extent they can win themselves a big payday and get out before the average investor really knows what's going on, I don't think they hesitate to do that.
If you had to put a fair value on the stock, what's the price going to be?
Well, you know, if you want to say $20, they still have to grow profits by 9% compounded annually for a decade. That's $20. So that's probably easily on the high end of expectations that anybody would want to really give the company.
So $20 on Valeant Pharmaceuticals International, currently trading in the range of $85. That's a haircut of more than 75%. And that's one more reason why you can put Valeant Pharmaceuticals, ticker symbol VRX, in the danger zone. David Trainer from New Constructs, thanks as always for joining us. Looking forward to doing this again next week.
Me too. Good being with you. Thank you.
If you want more information on what they do at New Constructs, go to newconstructs.com. Follow them on Twitter at New Constructs. Up next, it's the Money Life Market Call. Malcolm Polly will be in the house when Money Life continues in just a moment.